Please join me as we read Romans, and we'll read out of the 8th chapter, and starting on verse 12 to verse 25. I think it's a mixed blessing to have all this technology. Because I love to have the words up there in Spanish and English and all that stuff. But like I've told you before, I like to hear the sound of the leaves, the pages of the Bible to go through it and having people refer to it. Unfortunately, nowadays, that doesn't happen. So I have to make it up in my mind. You may think I'm crazy, but that's just me. Let us read then in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. May God bless His word. Let's pray. Gracias, Señor. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you. Gracias. Thank you for being here with us. What a wonderful thing is to have the Spirit of the very God be with us. I pray, God, that through the words that we have heard and the words we're going to share and our thoughts and the meditations that go deep into our soul, we may be fed today. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As you well know, if you've been coming the last few weeks, we've been touching base on Romans and a few of the chapters. Before I get into that, I just want to say, hi, is that Steve over here? Glad to have you with us. And yes, Donna, to you too, all right? He's sitting back there. He's glad to have him. We have been talking about Romans, and you know Paul is very strong about the Spirit. He will want us to know that we are in a struggle, that we're in a battle. And if you didn't have enough of the Spirit already, we've been talking a few weeks, we're going to talk even more about it. Even next week, so come ready, right? How do you get ready for that? I don't know, but you'll figure it out. It is the season after Pentecost, and let me just remind you that it was Pentecost where the Spirit poured out to its people. I believe truly that God is still spilling out to His people. God's Spirit is still doing God's work. And it is that Spirit of God that leads us into a real relationship with our Creator. It is that Spirit that connects us. It is that Spirit that speaks to our hearts, to our soul. It is that Spirit who helps us to discern. That's quite a word. Discern, right? How to navigate the waters of life. And one phrase that captured my thoughts while I was thinking about this passage is that we have, quote unquote, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But before that, let me make a parenthesis here. It'll be a brief one. It'll be about 20 minutes and then we'll be done. I want to say that I really believe that God is orchestrating something. Mm-hmm. I really believe that God is working and it's doing something. I would not have even thought last year at this time that I would be in Colorado. Nowhere in my mind there was that thought. But somehow, God has worked in many ways, in mysterious ways, to bring my family here. And as you see, my family is not here today with me. Judith is not doing well, and the kid has complications this morning. So between all that stuff, they couldn't make it. But I am glad to be here because I have been witness of what God is doing. I've been surprised. And God has surprised me. So many things that I've seen around us already. And I believe that the Spirit of God has been working here in Mount Air. And not because Mount Air is a great church, all right? So please don't bring yourselves so up and be like, oh yes, you know, we're Mount Air Christian Church. No, it's not that. Although you're great people, you know, don't get me wrong. But I think it's because this church is the church of Christ. It's the church of Jesus. And He has been working around us. And it is that Spirit of God that has been doing this. We've been laying out the ground with the work of Pastor Trevor and Pastor Joel, who was here, and even Pastora Daphne, who spent some weeks with you, some months with you. And I'm sure that it was a little crazy and everything, you know, but that's what makes it interesting, right? Puerto Ricans tend to do that sometimes. Not me, I'm a little different, you know. But I want to remind you of something. I don't know if you remember that we announced that yesterday was going to be a celebration for Pastor Daphne and Jose Morales, who is, or soon to be was, our regional minister. And I went out there and I was hoping to see some more of our faces there, but I only saw one. And I'm not going to beat you up over that, but I would like to mention this. I think that our church is, like I said, God is doing something here. And I would like to see our church be more than just a church for this community. I would like our church to be present in our region, in things that are happening around us, because we're not only here, our church is everywhere. The Church of Jesus Christ is the universal church. Sometimes we don't know exactly what is it that that means. Well, I'll invite you to be present and figure it out. so that you can know. Okay, I'll end the parenthesis there, okay? We'll go on to the first point of our passage. First thing I want to communicate from this passage is that we are not to fear. And Paul has reminded us through these chapters in Romans that we are in a struggle for our very lives, a real battle. And this battle that's been going on is there, is present, and we better wake up to it. And we better take action. We cannot be passive. We who are led by the Spirit are God's children, says Paul in verse 14. We who are led by the Spirit. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Yeah, you can answer that one.
Yeah.
Ah, man, okay, yes. Well, even if you say maybe. We who are led by the Spirit of God are His children. And that's awesome. We are not slaves to the body and to the mind. We are rather adopted by God. So I tell you, be strong and be courageous, because we have a great Abba, Father, as Paul says, right? A great God, a great Dad. We are joint heirs with Christ. And check this out. In fact, if we suffer with Christ, we are going to be glorified with Him. Now, of course, we went through a series of sermons about suffering, and I know that you don't want to hear any more about it, but I will continue to mention it because the Scripture does. And this is what Paul is saying. If we suffer in Christ, it's better than suffering without Him. Amen?
Amen.
And as far as I know, from the moment that I was born, I've been suffering. The first thing that I suffered was hunger. So my mom says, I couldn't have enough. Yeah, there is something about our existence, about our life, that involves and has content of that suffering. But he says here, if we suffer in Christ, then we're going to be glorified with Him. Future tense, we're going to be. So the lesson of that section about fear is that yes, there is suffering in this world, and lots of it. And it seems like we cannot control it all. So if you're going to suffer anyway, you might as well do it in Christ. Because you know what? In Christ, we have hope. Now the second point of the passage is that there is a hope that goes beyond our understanding. And Paul states it with this word. It states it with this word, glory. Glory. And I don't know about you, but I've heard this word for a lot of years. I always kind of wondered in the back of my mind, so what is this glory all about, you know? Glory. Yes, that term seems like it's so familiar with us, but what is it? What is it? What does it mean for us to have glory in the future? And I think we all have that sense of what that means. It may be a manifestation, you know, a brightness or illumination. We've seen the stories in Scripture where we see the glory being manifested in Christ like a light. But every time that I've seen it mentioned as something that's going to be revealed to to us. The awesomeness of God's being revealed to his people. Maybe that's what it's all about. You see, when we say that the president, because we don't have a king, right? So let's say the president of the United States enters the room with all his or her glory, there is a sense of majestic essence in their being. It's not that they are all that much, but there is a sense of majesty around them. That's what they represent. And imagine now that we, as part of God's family, are to experience God's glory in a way that is incomparable to our present sufferings, as Paul says. Incomparable. So it doesn't matter really how tough it gets today, although we might feel it in our flesh. But if we are with Christ, we have a hope. So maybe that's going to happen in a special manifestation. And I like when Paul goes to this place. He says that even the whole earth is waiting for it. And it describes this as groans. What another word, right? Groaning is like so deep from within. And then, of course, you start thinking of the island of Hawaii and how those volcanoes are still exploding and something is happening within, right? There's a fire. The whole earth groans. It's waiting for its freedom. The freedom of the glory of the children of God. And now, groaning in labor pains, as Paul describes it, that is tough. I don't know how that experience is. Nayoka is laughing back there. Labor pains. Thank God Almighty I didn't have to go through that. But
yes.
Oh, yes. But if you think about it, you know, that there's something about that image of labor, right? You're going through a hard time. Your body is, you know, going all over the place. You have feelings that you never had before. My wife almost killed me. And next to her, when Michelle was being born, I was like, gosh, so this is what is to suffer. It's just being next to her. She almost grabbed my neck and said, ah, you know, like, something is happening here. You know why? The thing about this groaning, pains of labor is that you still do it. You don't end it. You still go through the pain. You still go through the experience. Why? Because there is a hope that something, someone is going to come forth. There's going to be an experience there. So you see, that's why I believe that moms go through all that. Because there is something ahead. An offspring. There's a revelation of glory. And I thought immediately about that moment. You know, parents know that. You know, when I saw my firstborn, Michelle, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know, I was stunned. And I imagine that this is somewhat what we're going to experience when we get there. Right? Right? Oh, man, I'm hoping so. Gosh, because going through all this pain for nothing is like crazy. So the lesson of the second section is, take courage. Plant your claim on that adoption. And join the family in its mission. It's better. than not. What's on the other side? The glory of God. You may not see it now, but that's our hope. And Paul clarifies that hope in this way. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. You see, we have it backwards, right? We always want to see the results. We want to see the end game. We want to see the other side before we commit. We want to know for sure. But Paul reminds us, hope that is seen. If you already know it, then there is no hope. So you have to step out in faith. You see, that's the Christian life. You have to step out from your comfort zone. You have to step out of what your mind is even telling you, because the mind and the flesh want to pull you back and say, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It doesn't make any sense. But the Spirit of God is saying, I want you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I want that relationship to be alive and well. So I'll conclude with this. You see, God, I believe, God has called Mount Air Christian Church to be something that is not yet been. And I truly believe that that is the hope of this church. Amen. Is something out there? We don't know what it is. God is shaping it somehow. God is preparing us somehow in His own special ways. God is planting those seeds of that whatever being, type, state. He's planting those seeds in our hearts. And I truly believe that He's doing that because He has an end game in sight. And we wait. And we hope. And we experience the pains of labor as we see this develop. And here it is. I'm coming back to this idea. Remember that we are the people of the first fruits of the Spirit. Remember, hello? Are you here? Yeah. Remember that we are the people of the first fruits of the Spirit. We are the church. But that seems like it's the norm. Oh, we are the church. Yes, we have the Spirit. All right. So I would like to rephrase that a little bit. What I would like for us to do is to think of us as the people of the fresh fruits. Not the first fruits, but the fresh fruits. You see, those fruits that come out of the ground, when you first cut it, I've experienced that over here at the park in Mount Aaron. I've had some of those lettuce just cut from the vine. They're still alive. You see, that's what I would like for us to think about. That God is building something and is growing something, and those fruits are coming out fresh in our lives. Well, how do we do that? How do we experience that? How do we see ourselves as growing leaves, plants, people, whatever you want to call it? People of the fresh fruits. Maybe that should be our slogan out there. We're people of the fresh fruit. No, man, that's too much like other supermarkets, you know. But, well, maybe you can call us fresh fruits of the Spirit. There you go. You see, what I'm saying here is that it's not that we should wait for the glory of God to be manifest. We should not wait for that time where it's going to be all nice and beautiful and we're going to be in the presence of God and all our pain is going to go away. We should not wait. We should be connected. We should be acting. We should be moving. We should be producing fresh fruit of the Spirit. Now, our visioning team is working on a framework, right, where this can happen. But I'd like to encourage you today. You see, because I'm concerned, really, that everybody's just waiting for someone else to come up with a good idea or a good reason for us to be connected, for a good reason for us to be active, for a good reason for us to then say, I'm a Christian. Why not do it right now? What are we waiting for? I'll tell you how, because of course that's the question. So, how do I do this? How do I do this? All right, I have a 3-step process for you. All right? Pray, and pray some more. God will reveal it. Pray. And God will put something in you to say, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to be connected. This is a whole field that can be harvested right here. God works in mysterious ways, and I'm going to do something right now. Listen, there's a lot of things happening in this building during the week. You know that, right? You all know that?
Yes. Amen.
Food banks, there's meetings, there's kids clubs with kids. There's a lot of things happening here. Who's here? Are you? Are you connected with what's happening here? I wonder why not? God is already laying it in front of us. God has all the feasts served. So what's happening? I believe it's not enough just to open the doors and let people in, guys. We need to be connected with what God is doing. And you may say, well, maybe I'm not prepared. Maybe I don't know. I'll tell you this. Do it. Doesn't matter whether you're prepared or you don't know. It doesn't matter. Do it anyway. Come visit. Have a talk with someone right now. All you have to do is just stand there and you'll see people come. Just talk to them. And if you don't want to talk to them, just serve them then. It only takes an hour, two. It doesn't take a whole lot except that willingness to give of yourself. And I don't know if you have received the newsletter yet, but there's a lot of other things happening around us. There's a whole lot of field for us to be connected with, for us to be participating in what God is doing. And I tell you, I believe that when we connect with what God is doing, we will find His glory. We will learn what He's doing. We will hear His voice. We will see how He's impacting people's lives. Because you'll be there. We are people of the first fruits. But that's not enough. Just to give the first fruits or to receive the first fruits, I don't think that's enough. Fresh fruit. I wonder if we were that church, or we're allowing that Spirit to create something fresh in our hearts and our souls. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the words of Paul, and I thank you for what he is trying to convey to us. And I pray, Lord, that somehow, through your word, our souls and our hearts may be connected to your desire. You see, we just sang a little while ago that it is our desire to worship you and to give of ourselves and to give you our heart. But I wonder if we need to do it in practical ways, not only with our words. I pray, God, that you help Mount Air, me, to give us, to give you our heart, to give you our soul, to give of ourselves to what you're doing in our world. I pray this in the mighty and strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.